During much of the Bruce Arians head coaching era for the Cardinals, the team was picking in the late first round.
The Arizona Cardinals select Deion Buchanan, DJ Humphreys,
Robert Kivdichi.
By 2018, the Cardinals were picking much earlier on day one of the draft, and they needed a future franchise QB.
The Oakland Raiders have traded the 10th pick to the Arizona Cardinals. With the 10th pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Josh Rosen, quarterback, UCLA.
For the first time in the Super Bowl era, the Cardinals have the number one overall pick at the NFL Draft. Will they choose an elite pass rusher? Will they get an unstoppable defensive tackle? Or will they make an unprecedented move and draft a potential franchise quarterback for the second year in a row?
The Cardinals are going to take Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Kyler Murray.
Arizona Cardinals franchise history will be made today in Nashville. You're about to join the NFL Draft Extravaganza on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
On 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station special presentation. NFL Draft coverage presented by Four Peaks. The NFL Draft Extravaganza. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the NFL Draft Extravaganza. As we are live from Four Peaks Brewery here in Tempe. This is the Burns and Gambo show, but we've invited a couple of guests. My name is Dave Burns, alongside the one, the only, as always, John Gambadoro. Hi, Gambo.
Congrats to the D-backs on that four-game sweep in Pittsburgh. That was an 8-2 road trip. I want to give them some props, man. Zach Greinke outstanding today.
Yes.
D-backs swept the Pirates in four.
Leave it to you on draft day to give a tip of the cap to the Diamondbacks
I want to give a tip of the cap. That was a great road trip.
It was a very good road trip. And, yes, the Diamondbacks did conclude a very, very fine road trip, no doubt about it. But the NFL draft is front and center today. And along with myself, Dave Burns, John Gambadoro, we have invited a couple of our mainstays around here on the station to help break it down for the next couple of hours or so. And then Ron Wolfley's going to be by as well. Joining us for the first hour and a half, 2 hours or so of our roundtable conversation, two multi-Super Bowl winning offensive linemen back in the day from the Washington Redskins, famed member of the Hogs, college football insider forever and a day, Mark May joining us here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. May Day, good to see you.
Great to see you. Good to be here.
And the ultimate Avengers fan, no spoilers for Max Starks, two-time Super Bowl winning champion with the Pittsburgh Steelers, who is shooting off on out of here as soon as this draft is over because he's got tickets to go see Endgame tonight. We're a little jealous of that right there, Max. No mocking of that for you today.
No.
None.
No. 7:30 premiere, guys. Anyways.
Gee, thanks.
Hey, Cards, let's make sure we don't trade back too far. That'd be great.
You've got an appointment to make.
Exactly, yeah, or else I'll be a phoner.
Max, no love. In honor of you, I wore the Steelers colors.
I know. I mean, I love it. I love it. And the fact, here's my one dig that happened. Was why'd you have to say back in the day? Just Super Bowl champions.
Yeah, that's all you
gotta
leave it at.
That's all you need to leave it at.
Then he said way back in the day, and he looked at me.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, it's just multi-winning Super Bowl champions. And, of course, two of the smartest people playing the smartest positions, offensive linemen, and more specifically tackle.
I was just trying to respect your age, Mayday. That's all I was trying to do. So, gentlemen, it's the NFL draft today, and I think we should just start it off with first of all, since we've got Gambo here, obviously, this has been an airtight, lockdown, very little information coming out. So what have you been able to find out so far as we are 3 hours away from the start of this thing?
Yeah, still, that's what I found out. I found out this is an airtight lock, and they don't want anybody to know. I mean, you know, you've worked with me for years. Usually I have a really good feeling on what they're going to do, or at least be able to eliminate some possibilities. I can't eliminate any of the possibilities right now. Quinnen Williams, Nick Bosa trading the pick, or taking Kyler Murray. I can't eliminate any of them right now. I've had, you know, conversations and checked on things, and you know, they love Quinnen Williams and they love Nick Bosa. So if they stay defense, which way do they go? I've heard all along that they like Bosa a little bit better, that he's an alpha male, that Quinnen only has the one great year. But I've also heard that This guy's had two season-ending, and all you guys can talk about it. This is two season-ending injuries in the last 4 years. Final year of high school, ACL, ended his season. Groin injury, ended his season. So the medicals are going to be very important. While they may like Bosa better, that doesn't mean that they're going to take Bosa, because the medical reports are going to ultimately decide. If they have any red flags at all, or there's any concerns that this guy's failed to finish two of the last 4 years, and they stay with the defensive player, it could be Quinnen Williams just because of the medical concerns.
I want to ask our Super Bowl champion offensive linemen who are here on our panel, of the three players that are being talked about the most when it comes to the Cardinals number one, Bosa, Kyler Murray, Quinnen Williams, which one do you believe, when it's all said and done, will have the best and most productive NFL career at the end of the day? Max, I'm going to start with you.
I mean, the biggest thing that makes it so tough, especially when you're trying to equate what they will project into the NFL. You know, first of all, it's not a kid's game anymore. It's not a passion. This is a profession played by grown men. So it's always tough. Kyler, one stellar year. Quinnen Williams, one stellar year. Nick Bosa, stellar moments. So trying to project all of that off of very little is really tough. But, I mean, when you say who has the most upside, I think Quinnen Williams has the most upside, along with Kyler Murray probably being second, just because we don't know. But still, I worry about a sleight of frame type of quarterback with a rebuilt offensive line that we don't know about. These guys have not played together. These five have not played together before. This is their first time, even though they look good on paper.
Yep.
When you pull in a guy, you know, Justin Pugh coming off of an injury from last season will be back. You know, A.Q. Shipley will be back. Mason Cole played the whole season, healthiest lineman. D.J. injured, coming back. Marcus Gilbert. So that's where my worry is for Kyler Murray. He's going to need a line that can protect him. And then with Nick Bosa, I just look at the Bosa tree. Your brother's been injured, off injured. You've been off injured. So when you're on the field, you're going to be productive if I'm casting off of your brother. But at the same time, I'm looking and I'm saying, you're also injury-prone like your brother. So, I mean, I like Quinnen Williams. He's my favorite. But
what was your first year in the NFL?
2004.
Yeah. It was 10 years before that. The last time a defensive tackle went number one overall in the draft.
There we go.
10 years before you first played in the league. You got to go back to 1994. The last time a defensive tackle went number
Mayday
one overall.
Mayday was still playing in the league back then.
Was my last year.
Mayday played with Sonny Jurgensen.
I did not.
Was it Kilmer?
No, it was Theismann.
Kilmer and Jorgensen. He blocked Kilmer and Jorgensen.
Theismann and Doug Williams. But I agree with you and Quinnen Williams. I think when you look at the situation with Kyler Murray, it's the injury thing that I'm concerned about, just because of size and his durability. You look at running quarterbacks and you think of Cam Newton. He can't stay healthy at 6'5", 250.
Exactly.
So you got a guy that's 5'10"-ish, maybe 195 pounds because he blew up at the combine to be 207 pounds. But I look at all three, and the injuries to the Bosa clan, and Joey Bosa hasn't been able to play. When he's in the NFL, Nick Bosa hasn't been able to play that much at Ohio State. The only thing in the equation when you look at it is you got to look at health, you got to look at upside, you got to look at Quinnen Williams. Here's a guy that's young. He's very young, but he's very, very good. And if you watch him play, he doesn't take plays off. This guy has tremendous leverage, and he can go low and just drive people and pile drive offensive linemen back to the quarterback that I haven't seen guys been able to do since Reggie White or Ndamukong Suh when he was young.
Gambo, I'll ask the question to you too, and I also kind of want to frame up the conversation in terms of how good the Cardinals have done at masking their intentions on this one, because for weeks, months, arguably, the whole world has believed it's going to be Kyler Murray, and yet here we are less than 3 hours away, and I'm sensing real, genuine uncertainty about what the Cardinals are going to do with this spot.
I don't think there's uncertainty with them. I don't think there's any uncertainty. I think that they've made their decision. I think that they know what they want to do. Listen, there's a lot of great Scott McLaughlin, a really good evaluator, he said that Murray's the best player in the draft. You know, a lot of the media people are thinking that Murray's only being pushed up because of Cliff Kingsbury. But a lot of the talent evaluators all think that he's rare. You know, same as Quinnen Williams, a rare player in this draft. I mean, that's why, you know, it could be Murray. I'm still leaning Murray right now. I am. I think they know what they want to do. I think they absolutely know what they want to do. I think they went to bed last night. I think they went to bed 2 nights ago, 3 nights ago, last week, knowing what they were going to do. I just think they've done a really good job of disguising it and not letting anybody else know.
I think they've known for a month or more.
Because
why do you bring in Cliff Kingsbury to begin with? Because you want to change the culture here and you want to go in a different direction. You want that young offensive mind. You don't bring him in to coach the quarterback that you have. You bring him in to coach the quarterback that you want to have in the future, and that's going to be Kyler Murray. He fits his system. Josh Rosen doesn't. I know he said, yes, he can run his offense. How well can he run that offense? I can run the offense, but it's not going to do very well. So the bottom line is you want to get your guy. Why do you go to the extent of hiring a guy that's never been in the NFL except he was a player, a journeyman, a backup on a practice squad? I think he played in one game. He had two attempts, one completion. Yeah. Otherwise, he played in NFL Europe. He's been in college football. He got fired from his alma mater going 35-40. So you bring this guy in as an offensive mind. You better back him up in your system and put players that he wants in his system to fit his system because they're going to have to adapt to him.
I will say this, Max and Gambo and Mayday, usually by now – we've heard, right? Usually by now, this time a year ago, we knew Baker Mayfield was going number one. The drama had been let out of the room like air out of a balloon, right? Yep. We knew it. Most years by now, we know. Now, I don't know if it's because this is the first time the draft is on ABC and they're working harder to tighten the screws a little bit and make sure nobody lets anything out. But this is the first time in a while where I feel like, anyway, there is genuine drama about what's going to happen 2.5 hours from now.
Yeah, I think so. And I think also what makes this really tough is if you're going Kyler Murray, how does that hurt the value of Josh Rosen? I think that's why they've been so tight-lipped, because they need to get that trade, because as soon as they pick him, Josh Rosen's stock falls tremendously, and now you're looking at an injury situation where you might get something. You get the breadcrumbs thrown at you. Hey, here's a fourth or a fifth rounder. We'll take him off your hands because he doesn't fit your system. Mm-hmm. We've seen that. So that's where the tough area is, and I think that's why they have to play it so tough, because they're still trying to move Josh Rosen if that's the case. Yeah.
There have been a bevy of national reporters who have all commented on one thing or another when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals. So we're going to do a little read and react when we come back on our NFL Draft Extravaganza. We'll hear from Steve Weiss. You're going to hear from Adam Schefter. You're going to hear from Ian Rappaport. Others as well. Some of the latest rumors out there on the marketplace. We'll get into that and just our confidence level as to whether Kyler Murray is going to be the number one pick. That's next on the NFL Draft Extravaganza, live from Four Peaks here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. All right, guys, inside information here on our NFL Draft Extravaganza with me, Dave Burns, Sean Gambadoro, Mark May, Max Starks. So we're live from Four Peaks. This comes from the Twitter account of Bob McManaman, the Cardinals beat writer over at AZ Central and Arizona Republic. Quote, just saw Josh Rosen walking out of the Cardinals training center for the day and headed to his car. He had a big smile on his face as he waved hello. Close quote. There you go.
Sometimes that's a goodbye.
Yeah, exactly.
Adios. With a big smile. Adios.
Hey, I'm not going to be here this summer for 110 plus.
Did he have a bag? Was he carrying a big bag with his personal items?
I'm being facetious. It's apropos of absolutely nothing whatsoever. But at least Josh Rosen's in a good enough mood that he's waving hello to media members on his way out of the day from the Cardinals headquarters. That's the latest as we know right now with what's going on with his draft. We know a lot more than that, but it is still a great deal of mystery about what the Arizona Cardinals are going to do. Now, there was a lot of national perspective. I'm going to play these, and I want to hear you guys react to this if we could. Here's Steve Weiss. He was on the Bickley and Marotta show earlier today. He insists that nobody is moving up to the number one spot in a trade with the Cardinals.
Well, no one's coming up to number one for the pick. Cardinals are going to have that pick. There's no team that's going to give up the freight it takes to get to number one. I've talked to several teams over the past few weeks, but especially the past couple of days, those trade conversations with Josh Rosen, they have just not happened on a serious front over the past 2 or 3 days. So, you don't know what necessarily is going to happen there. Things could happen during the draft. They could happen right before the draft. The Cardinals are not going to get what they want if they're holding out for a first-round pick. Most people I speak to say they'd be fortunate to get a back end two, or maybe even a third-round pick.
All right, Gambo, a couple things to unpack there. Number one, he doesn't think there's a market for anybody to move up to number one. And number two, he doesn't think the Cardinals can get a first-rounder for Josh Rosen.
If you ask me right now to eliminate one option, I would probably go with the trade option. I would probably go with that it Bosa, Williams, or Murray, and that the trade option is the last option out there, because there is just no rumblings of trades. I have had discussions and information on Murray, on Bosa, on Williams. but nothing on trades. Only Rosen, that there's six teams that had shown interest in Rosen, but to varying degrees of interest. You know, it could be a first round, a second round, a third round, but there was interest in Rosen. I've never gotten anything outside of an early tidbit about 3 weeks ago that the Raiders loved Murray. Mm-hmm. That the Raiders loved Murray and that they could be a team that moves up. Outside of that, it's been very, very quiet with trades. So unless we're being played here, that would be the one. If you said rule out one option right now, I would say trade.
Do you guys, and Mayday, I'll start with you on this one. Do you believe at the end of the day that if there was a trade for number one, somebody wanting to move up, that that would be the ideal option for the Cardinals? Or do you believe it's stay put and draft the best player that's there?
I think they're sitting around praying somebody offers them a package deal for the number one pick, because they need more than just one player. They've got a lot of holes to fill on this team. If they can get somebody that's dumb enough to come up to number one and give them a bunch of picks, they'll do that in a heartbeat. But if not, then they're going to have to take their quarterback, because they're basically almost stuck with Kyler Murray now. Because all the things and all the signals they sent out, Cliff Kingsbury, what he said in college, all those other things, his offense, the air raid, who else are you going to go with? And the other thing is, when you look at this, who else is going to generate interest in this franchise? If you get Kyler Murray, you're probably going to get some of the primetime slots early with the NFL. They're going to move their schedule around. You're going to get on some of those primetime slots. And the other thing, you're going to sell tickets. I can't believe that nobody remembers what I remember from last year when those fans were leaving early. In the first half, after the fourth or fifth game of the season, season ticket holders on television saying, I'm not coming back, and I've been a season ticket holder for the last 10 years.
Guys, I want to explore that for a minute. Gambo and Max, I want you guys to take turns on this one. Do you agree with Mayday that the Cardinals are painted into a corner now when it comes to taking Kyler Murray, that there are literally no other options at this point for them?
No. Because I think you could take the best defensive player available in Quinnen Williams or Nick Bosa. I mean,
what does that do for your program? What does that do for your fan base? Does that really excite you?
They've sold that every single game since they've been in that stadium. They have a fan base. They have a great fan base. They have a new stadium. They've sold out every single game. They've never not had a sellout.
Apparently, you don't look at the stands where people don't show up.
Well, okay, that's fine. But they have sold out every single game. And if they go, you know what? You can't make a decision based on, oh, I need to sell 2,000 extra tickets for the game. You got to make a decision on what's best for your football team.
That's how you get fired.
What?
If fans start leaving and not coming.
Yeah. You know what? You know how you don't get fired? Win. Win football games. The fans will show up.
That's also part of the equation.
Yeah. Max?
And I think the same thing. I think who's the draw at number one? I mean, even though the trade is probably the unlikely option, that's what they're hoping for, because you alleviate yourself off of that stress, off of having to live up to this expectation. Because let's face it, if we go off the big board, top 100, Kyler Murray's not the number one best available player. And when you think of how this team needs to be rebuilt, let's face it, because it had a roughshod job last year of piecing pieces together, and you lost a lot of pieces then, yep. And then you've lost even more this offseason. You put some better pieces in place than what you took in last year, but still it's unproven. It's an unproven product. And I think for them, they need quantity and quality at this point. And I think moving out of that one spot, if you find somebody who's going to give you those additional picks, that's what they're hoping for, because you can fill the tight end need. You can fill offensive line depth need. You can fill linebacker need. You can fill that cornerback. You can fill all of those position needs that you have on your list that really haven't been alleviated. I don't feel any stronger from the offseason. I felt better than I did when the season ended, but I don't feel better going into the season knowing what you have in your division, because that's who you're up against in the draft.
Yeah,
it's your divisional opponent.
Yeah. Adam Schefter was on WEEI today, and he insists he does not believe the Cardinals at this moment have a trade partner for Josh Rosen, if indeed that's the direction they're going.
I'm telling you, they do not have a deal in place for Josh Rosen. I'm telling you, I'm not holding back a single thing on Josh Rosen. There's no deal in place. They don't have anything. If there was a team that wanted Josh Rosen that badly, they would have traded for him on April 1st so he could go through the offseason program in the new offense and get familiar with that and learn the new coach and learn the new personnel.
We don't even know if Josh Rosen's available at this point, let alone what kind of offers the Cardinals could be getting for him if he were. But I still have a hard time believing, and maybe I'm being naive here, guys, that if there's some team out there who's got their draft board set up and Josh Rosen is a better quarterback grade-wise than everybody they could potentially get at that spot, why they wouldn't give up that pick for Josh Rosen.
I totally agree with you.
I don't understand
at
that for $2
million a year for the next 3 years.
That's not a steal. Paying
any money.
Right.
Every evaluator and expert feels that he's better than Haskins, Locke.
Jones?
Well, Jones, yeah. Every evaluator says that he's better than those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. And if it's a second-round pick, like if you're a team that has two first-round picks like the Giants, why wouldn't you give up your second-round pick? Or if you're Washington, why not take a chance? You let him play the last 10 games of the season. If he's not your guy, then you go figure it out next year. There's three great quarterbacks next year as of right now.
Yeah.
I'm shocked that nobody's made a move or at least an offer that says we want Josh Rosen. There's got to be something there that we don't know about. But I'm telling you, if you're a team, if you're a general manager right now, if I'm a general manager of another team in the NFL, why would I step up now? Because right now they see that the ship is sinking. Let's wait. Why give him a first or a second? We might be able to get him for a third.
Exactly. I think that's where the value comes in, is that the closer we get to draft, the more desperate they're going to be. So the competing teams are like, we're just going to wait. We're going to wait this out. Because a second that the Titanic has fully sunk, we can come in and swoop it up.
You could be the Miami Dolphins. They've been waiting it out since 1999 when Dan Marino retired. Yeah, they've been waiting it out since 99. They haven't had a good quarterback since 99. I'm serious. Serious. Okay. Go look at a list of Miami Dolphin quarterbacks since Marino left. They all sucked. All of them. Not one has been good. Not one.
Being from Orlando and having to be a suffering Miami Dolphins fan, because I was the closest local team, because I did not look at the old school Buccaneers. You couldn't root for them. The uniform was terrible. But I think, you're absolutely right. And they're saying, we're a year away. What? You're a year away is 20 years away from where you were.
I got the scenario what's going to happen. Bill Belichick's going to sit there and wait till the end of the first round and call up Steve Kime and say, I'll give you my last pick of the draft for Josh Rosen. And he's going to jump on it. And we're all going to sit there and say, God dog it, New England did it again.
You're talking about the 32nd pick.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'll tell you what. That's a scenario that really would not surprise me at all. That really would not – that Bill Belichick, that crafty snake in the weeds kind of a, just sitting there. You know what? 32 is good value for Josh Rosen. I'll give you 32. Oh, okay, here we go. Thank you. Oh, thank you. Okay, good.
Yeah, the Redskins and the Dolphins and the Broncos and all of these teams could look at it and say, what just happened?
Yep. Right. And they'll all look at it and go, gee, is there a reason why that guy wins a Super Bowl basically every other year?
And it's not all over the free agency either.
No.
He waits. So
we're live at Four Peaks today, just off of 8th Street in Tempe. It's our NFL Draft Extravaganza. Happy hour prices all day. All of their great selections. They've got draft day specials as well. The Big Red Wings, the Larry Fritz Steak Fries, the Kyler Murray Mac, the Big Cheese, they're calling it. All sorts of great food specials. The food here is awesome. If you want to come by and hang out with us, you are invited. Four Peaks in Tempe for our NFL Draft Extravaganza. Speaking, gentlemen, of rumors, we got a red-hot one that just came down the pike a moment ago. And it might have something to do with the Cardinals and their ability to get Quinnen Williams. We'll tell you all about it next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. There was a little movement today when it comes to Quinnen Williams. Some conversation today about Quinnen Williams when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals. In fact, Ian Rappaport had reported earlier today on his Twitter account that if the Cardinals have made a decision on number one, they are keeping it quiet. Source said GM Steve Kime reached out to at least one player, Alabama defensive tackle Quinnen Williams, to let him know he's still a possibility to go first overall. There's a rumor about Quinnen Williams, and it's coming from a pretty good NFL insider. Before we share that with you, let's get to know Quinnen Williams just a little bit better.
Mel Kiper Jr.'s player profile.
When workout matches production, you have something. A 303-pounder running 4.83 in conjunction with all that dynamic, disruptive plays that we saw. Go back to the LSU game. He had 10 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 2.5 sacks against the Bayou Bengals. Super active, hand usage outstanding, disengages, locates the ball, destroy double teams, stacks, sheds, great effort, and guess what? He wants to be a complete player. He's not just interested in sacks. He wants to play the run, tremendous work ethic. Quinnen Williams could be one of the best defensive players overall in the NFL very early in his pro career. And you can make a strong argument he was the best player in this draft.
Mel Kiper Jr. with the draft profile. Here's the rumor from Rich Cimini, the ESPN NFL Nation reporter who covers the Jets. And Gambo, this is not going to surprise either one of us one bit. He writes, sounds like there's a pretty good chance the Jets trade down. One team already under the impression the Jets have a deal worked out with another team if Quinnen Williams is available at number three. He suggests that team to keep an eye on might be the Buffalo Bills, who have the ninth pick in the draft. Jets could get an edge rusher or an offensive lineman in a trade down.
So two teams in the same division trading with each other in the AFC East. The New York Daily News, I just had this sent to me. The New York Daily News is reporting, while there was a sense in recent days that the Jets wouldn't be able to trade down from number three overall, three GMs have told him that they think New York will definitely trade out as long as Nick Bosa is not available.
As long as Bosa is not available.
As long as Bosa
goes one or two, the Jets would be looking to hit the eject button on number three and would have teams that would be interested in moving up to get Quinnen Williams.
Yeah, he added that the GMs do not expect the Redskins to be a trade partner for the Jets at number three overall. Yeah, and that the Jets could be looking for some extra picks to offset what they gave up for Sam Darnold last year. They currently do not have a second-round pick.
Our two-time Super Bowl-winning champions, Max Starks and Mark May.
What was it called in the 50s when May Day won? It wasn't the Super Bowl. Was it just like the
championship game?
It was the leather helmet championship game trophy. I don't even think they gave out a trophy back then. I think it was like a certificate of achievement they gave out back
watch.
In the...
You got a watch.
You got a gold watch. Two times.
Tape delayed.
Max Starks and Mark May, what is your guys' reaction to a division rival trading with a division rival and the fact that Quinnen Williams might be a commodity now to move up four?
I can guarantee you, if that's the truth, Sam Darnold is probably on the phone right now talking to Adam Gase saying, don't do this. I have to face him not once but twice every year. You don't trade in the same division if you've got a great player that's got to play you twice a year, because there's going to be incentive for that player to say, you know what, you should have taken me. Guess what? I'm going to make it hard on you. And that's always what happens. That extra incentive for players to do that, that motivation factor is going to be there.
Yeah, I completely agree. When you get traded between divisions, it's like, okay, I got two times a year that I'm definitely – the blood's rising extra high.
Imagine if you were traded to the Cleveland Browns.
I would be miserable. I would try and hurt everybody on the Steelers roster.
I did it when I came here. I signed here as a free agent. We played the Redskins. The one year we finally beat them, we almost slept them that year. We lost a close one here in Arizona, but we beat them in Washington.
Okay, but that wasn't a real rivalry. What if you had been traded to the Cowboys or the Giants?
What?
That was not.
It was a rivalry for me.
If you had been traded to Dallas or New York.
Or Philly?
Philly?
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to vomit there for a second, right? If you had been traded to Philly?
Bad fans.
So, Quinnen Williams now. All right. We opened the show, and I guess we kind of had a consensus among our former players here that Quinnen Williams might be the guy who has the best career when it's all said and done. How much consideration? I mean, the Cardinals, just like Kyler Murray, Gambo, the Cardinals have the opportunity to take the best guy and not allow the Jets the opportunity to trade out of number three. Could that be Quinnen Williams when it's all said and done?
Yeah, I think so. A couple of weeks ago, I didn't think it was possible because I thought they were really just hell-bent on Bosa, that they just loved Bosa. And they do love Bosa, but then, you know, I got word filtered that they love Williams too, that they really love Williams. Bosa, what I was told, Bosa gets the edge, alpha male, he's done it longer, Quinnen only did it for 1 year, but they really do love both players. I mean, it's not, if it's 1-2 on the board or 2-3 on the board, it's not going to be a much separation. But the question really comes down to what I was told in the last week, as you know, it's, you know, last-minute medical evaluations. Now, you guys would know more than me. I mean, when you're evaluating a groin injury and an ACL injury, you know, how much does a medical player factor? Does information come in within a week before the draft that you may not have had a month before the draft on medicals?
I just think it really comes down, just like, you know, I've always said this about the combine, numbers are there to either make you continue to like a guy, to justify liking him, or to justify not liking him. So at this point, if you have that last-minute medical that you're concerned about, then my question is, do you really love him? You know, because numbers are used to justify a lot of different things. And I think that's what you're coming to right here. It's like, oh, we love Bosa, but we found this out the last 45 minutes that his groin might be partially torn. Okay, that's why we're not picking him. we're done.
Right, but how do you find that out in the last week or two? You didn't find it out a month ago.
You knew it a month ago. And I think it's more so if you heard he was doing something and you heard about a tweak while training.
Yep.
That's the only way you get something last minute. It's like, okay, he was training. He kind of gimped around. Somebody called and said, hey, he had a gimp. You might want to check him out.
Yeah.
Make sure nothing new happened.
But my thing is, if you're going to draft this high in the draft, you better be sure. The safest pick is Quinnen Williams if you're talking about Bosa and Williams, because at least you know what you're getting. He hasn't been injured. He's healthy. He's played 1 year. That's about the same amount of time as Bosa's played. So you're looking at a guy that he's only going to get better. And when I look at these two players, I don't think it's close. I think the way the NFL is set up now, if you don't have that disruptor in the middle of the field, then guess what? It doesn't matter what your edge guys do, because you just run the ball in the middle of the field and you just short pass it to the tight end. That's what they can do. They can tear you apart. But if you've got that guy in there, if you look at what the Rams have done, you know, you get a guy like that that can just tear things up, Donald, forget it.
Yeah, that's Mark May, Max Starks, John Gambadoro. I want to pass this along, and I was made aware of this not only from our on-site producer, Aaron Maloney, but Jordan Bird back there in the studio. Josina Anderson on Twitter. I'm told, based on what was just texted to me, that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray, quote, would be shocked if he didn't go number one, close quote. Now, is that him? I just caught the tail end of that. Was that him walking into the draft? I couldn't tell.
No, I did not see.
I saw you guys pointing to the monitor, and I thought that was Kyler Murray for
checking
a second.
Checking out the threads.
Exactly. For a second, they looked like they were Cardinal red
so
threads.
So Murray is saying
tell.
He'll Greedy be shocked Williams if he's it. Not the number one pick.
Murray, somebody close to Murray is telling Josina Anderson that Murray would be shocked if he didn't go number one.
You
is that the first break that we've had in the case?
I don't know. N'Keal Harry told us yesterday he'd be shocked if the Cardinals don't pick him in 33.
That's funny.
I don't think that they told him they're taking him number one. I mean, just like they've told, you know, there was a report that they told Quinnen Williams he's still an option at number one.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, I just think this is, listen, all three of you guys are a chance. We could take you all at number one. And Murray just thinks that he is going number one. Mayfield had a great workout, and he had a great meeting, and he had a great dinner, and everything went really well. And
he called me back when I text.
Yeah.
I think he's the pick. I think he's the pick, but I have no certainty. It's just, this is just, you gather as much information as you can, and you try to figure it out. I think he's the pick, but with no certainty. We're all basically guessing right now.
I agree with you, Gambo, totally, but I think this is what happened. I'm pretty sure Cliff Kingsbury, when he met with Kyler Murray, said, look, we've got three guys in the mix. Okay, I can't tell you it's going to be you, wink, wink, but we've got three guys that we like, and you're one
he
of the three guys.
He did cancel a workout with Washington.
Yeah. Yep.
Now what?
He won't make it to 15.
No.
That's
now,
the reason why.
I got some information on that, too.
Yeah, he should have taken
Who's Washington's coach?
John didn't tell Jay not to draft him.
Who's Oakland's coach?
Forget that.
He's not going to get past four. What? Don't work your time. Don't bother.
Well, the thing
is, you don't have the inventory to get up to three, so don't bother.
But he should have taken that meeting regardless, because you don't know what's going to happen in the draft. You really don't know.
Stranger things have happened.
But hey, look, they gave away all that draft capital to get RG3. If Daniel Snyder wants you, he'll trade next year's first pick, the following year, what he did with RG3.
Yeah. All right. Draft Roundtable, our NFL Draft Extravaganza here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Mark May, Max Starks, John Gambadoro, and when we come back, all right, Kyler Murray, maybe. If that's the case, then what happens with Josh Rosen? We'll talk about that next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Draft Extravaganza here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, live from Four Peaks in Tempe. Max Starks, Mark May, John Gambadoro, me, Dave Burns, Ron Wolfley will be by in about an hour from now. The draft is exactly 2 hours away. Just got this tweet in front of me right now.
Oh, okay.
No, trust me. It's more of the same. This is from Michael Silver, who had a series of interesting tweets this morning. Michael Silver tweeted out, "The Arizona Cardinals have had discussions today with agents for each of the top three prospects on their draft board, Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa, Quinnen Williams, according to multiple sources. I'm told the team is still keeping its plans close to the vest."
Oh, they are. Trust me. Now, I'm in contact. They are keeping it close to the vest.
I thought you were in the pocket of the vest. I mean, if they're keeping it close to the vest, aren't you like the shirt under the vest over there?
Hey, I have a lot of information except for exactly what they're going to do. I mean, you want to know about Patrick Peterson? I got Patrick Peterson. You want about N'Keal Harry? You want options for the second round? I got options for the second round. I mean, I have a lot of stuff, but it's almost like they just, you know, that one, they're not going to dangle that one carrot out there. I'm not, you know, right now, again, I think we'll, you know, if I do find out, it's going to be very, very close to draft time.
You know what's funny about this? And Gambo, you know I'm just busting your chops. I know you do a great job. What makes me laugh about this is this almost like game within the game that's being played on social media. Okay, and here's what I mean by this. And I got Max Starks, I got Mark Mann, I got Gambo here. Josina Anderson tweets out 13 minutes ago, "I'm told based on what was just texted to me that Oklahoma quarterback Kyler Murray, quote, would be shocked if he didn't go number one," close quote. 12 minutes later, Michael Silver, "The Cardinals have had discussions today with agents of each of the top three picks. According to sources, I'm told the plan is keeping the team is keeping its plans close to the vest." Almost as like in response to Josina Anderson putting this out there about Murray, you have like this point counterpoint thing going on where, oh, no. We haven't decided anything. We're still keeping our plans close to the vest. We've talked with the agents of all three. Almost as if it was a somewhat subliminal response to what Josina Anderson texted out about 15 minutes ago.
Well, I can tell you right flat out. I mean, when we did the interview with N'Keal Harry yesterday, where he almost assured us that the Cardinals had promised him. Did you guys hear it?
I heard
it.
I was driving. I almost drove the car off the road.
Yeah. He basically said that he was promised he was going to go. I checked on that, and I was told that there was no truth to that. They had not promised him that he would be chosen at 33. How could they? What if there's a guy they like at 22 that falls to 33?
Yeah,
you know? Exactly. And what if they have N'Keal at 28 on their board, and they have another guy at 20 on their board that's an offensive lineman, and that guy slips to 33? I mean, you're not going to take the offensive lineman? You got a 20 over the wide receiver? You got a 28?
Yeah, I mean, that's the funny thing, because you don't know how this first round is going to play out. There's always going to be the surprise.
Yep.
There's always going to be the touted guy that falls in the draft 5 to 10, 12 spots that you're like, whoa, wait a second. Open for business. Yeah. All right. And then that's where the L.A. Rams, New England Patriots start coming into play, because people are going to jump up, especially the earlier you are in day two. They want to get in that spot. If I can slide back into the first round, like a Baltimore last year, to get Lamar Jackson, that's always a possibility. So for N'Keal here to come out and say that, I mean, you know, I appreciate the confidence.
Yeah, that's good, because you know what they probably said. Hey, if you're available, we really like you, and there's a good possibility we're going to take you there. That's what they tell you.
And you hear,
they're going to take me if I'm available.
Right. I imagine this conversation. Hey, if things break the way we think they're going to break, we're probably going to take you number 33. Yeah. Could something like that have been said to N'Keal Harry? Absolutely. Could he have perceived that as, oh, they're going to take me number 33.
Bingo.
I'm going to number 33. You know, so I appreciate his enthusiasm, and I understand. And he might not even be there based off of how this draft unfolds. I want to, though, guys, let's have a conversation about Josh Rosen.
Okay.
Because we haven't talked a lot about him. We're still kind of operating under the assumption it's going to be Kyler Murray. We do not know that for a fact. The Cardinals are indeed keeping this thing very close to the vest. This time a year ago, we were high as a kite that the Cardinals had finally found their franchise quarterback.
Yes.
Mm. If it's not Kyler Murray, can Josh Rosen still be the franchise quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals? Max, I want to start with you.
I'm going to go with yes, because he was drafted in the top 10. And if he fits and is as smart as we believe him to be, and he can convert into Kingsbury's hybrid offense, there's a possible shot for redemption. But the reality is they put themselves in this situation by touting Kyler Murray so high that it's going to burn down in ashes, especially if you don't get over 4 wins this year.
And the other thing is with Josh Rosen right now, keep your back to the wall, son, because I guarantee you he's going to always, every time they tell him something, if this happens and he's going to be their quarterback, they could have come out weeks, months ago saying, no, Josh Rosen's our quarterback. This is what's going to happen. He's going to be our quarterback. We draft him to be our leader. We're going in another direction. They've never said that. So if they end up keeping him, he's always got to keep his back against the wall, because anything they tell him from this point on, he's going to second guess it.
But they could say that about him, Gambo, if they wanted to, if they don't select Kyler Murray. They're going to come out, and you've speculated on this, they'll come out and say, hey, you are a guy all along. We were never going to do that.
We'll just let you twist in the wind for 3 months.
Exactly.
Listen,
we,
I mean,
we just want to see how you react.
Listen, this is
it builds character.
This is a business, man. This is a profession. Yeah. This is it. You deal with it. I mean, you're in trade rumors. Guys are in trade rumors all the time. Can he end up being a franchise quarterback? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. He was awful last year. I got game film. You saw some of the game film I had. He was awful. I mean, but Jared Goff was awful in his first season with the Rams, 0-7 under Jeff Fisher. He looked terrible, and he ended up going to a Super Bowl. I wouldn't rule it out. But he was the worst out of the five quarterbacks last year, and that's not even close. He was the worst out of the five quarterbacks.
Yeah, I agree with you with that aspect, but you can never compare him in the situation that the Rams had, because the Rams went out full gear, and they got every free agent that they wanted. They made a bunch of trades and got a lot of talent.
They paid
out
the nose.
And the Cardinals have never done that. I don't understand it. Why? Name me a big-name free agent guy that they've ever signed.
Edgerrin James.
That was at the end of his career.
Edgerrin James was coming off his best years.
Coming off his best years.
He still had a great year with the Cardinals. That's why they didn't draft Adrian Peterson, because Edgerrin James was getting him 1,300 yards.
Had 1 year?
I mean, he was still in his prime.
But you know what I'm saying, Max.
I completely agree.
They don't come out and they don't make big splashes in free agency and get big names. You name one guy, Edgerrin James. This year, who did they sign that really floats your boat? Last year.
Mike Iupati years ago?
Yeah, a couple years ago.
Mike's a good offensive lineman.
That was him and Beldier.
That'll sell some tickets.
That was the same year.
Who's a good offensive lineman?
Yeah. And they performed well, but there's never been a game changer that they've signed. A game changer.
Tell me one.
They signed a left side of an offensive line, and the quarterbacks performed admirably, but they have not found a game-changing type of talent. They didn't go after it this year. They didn't go after an OBJ. He was available. They didn't go after Amari Cooper last year. They didn't go after the big-name guy. Le'Veon Bell was out
available.
There. He wasn't available. So just saying, like, game change. They don't have that guy, and they've never gone after that guy. And Jared Goff got everybody.
Yep. Because they've signed more guys in the last years and traded for more guys in the last years that are quality players than the Cardinals have in the last 10 years.
Guaranteed.
Nice when you have a guy on a rookie contract. For years they had Carson Palmer making 20-something million a year instead of Jared Goff on a rookie contract. You could do that when you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract.
They have one.
And that, Gambo, is kind of in some ways the case for keeping Rosen, isn't it? I mean, you've already paid the guaranteed money out on his salary. It's 3 years left, $2 million per. That's an incredible value for him right now.
They still have dead money on, I mean, Carson just ended.
Wow.
Now, you still got dead money on Bradford, $5 million in dead money on Bradford, 3.7 on Iupati, 1.2 on Smith. It would be next year, really, where the money, the rookie, because he only paid him two,
right.
Next year where you would be in really good shape to take advantage of the rookie contract of the quarterback.
My question is, will they do that? They've never done that in their history. They don't do that.
Cap's going up 10 more
million. And here's the question. Will Steve Keim even be there if they have another bad year? Will Steve Keim even be in a position to do that? Or will it be a brand new regime who now they have to figure out how they're going to do their process?
We've discussed many different possibilities for the Cardinals in the first round. Could Arizona end up with more than one first round pick? We'll talk about that coming up next. The NFL Draft Extravaganza here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station.